Welcome to the Her Sweet Spot Experience, dishing out tips and tricks on mindset, money, marketing, and media for your life and business, and where we talk to women about how they found their sweet spot.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to the Her Sweet Spot Experience podcast, your dose of inspiration where we celebrate and amplify the voices of inspiring women. I'm your host, Marsha Guerrier, and today we have a special episode featuring a recipient of the Her Rise Micro Grant. These women have not only started incredible businesses, but have harnessed the power of grant funding to make a real impact in their business. Today, we'll introduce to you Trish Bernard, owner of Farrell's Daughter Consulting, a digital marketing agency in Dallas, Texas. Trish leads a team of female subcontractors providing innovative digital marketing and branding strategies nationwide. Her journey from freelance graphic designer to agency head was fueled by her clients' needs for comprehensive support. Trish's background in psychology with a bachelor's of science degree informs her unique approach, blending insights into human behavior with tailored marketing solutions for each client. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hola. I'm super excited Trish, to be here. Just let you know.
I'm so happy to have you here. This is so exciting. Congratulations again on winning the Her Rise Micro Grant. You know, we talk about, we're going to get into the grant and the funding and how that was helpful to you, how you've been working and harnessing grant funding in general, your journey there. But let's learn a little bit more about you, because I know I only scratched the surface. So can you share a little bit about your journey in business and what inspired you to pursue digital marketing?
So the digital marketing part, I can just start by saying it really was by accident, which is like people like, I know my... my coach would probably cringe hearing me say that out loud to people, but it really was by accident. I worked in corporate finance for 11 years. And so I liked the people and things like that. And I like what I did and the money was really good, but I wasn't really happy doing that. And so my dad passed and he died doing things, something that he loved. And so it really made me want to do something that I love. So long story short, I really tried to figure out what it was that I wanted. I started a concierge business because I knew I wanted to help people. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't know how. I don't have a background in having a business. So it was really about me trying to like figure out what would work. And so yeah. I did concierge services for a while, which in turn opened me up to doing like virtual assistant services. And I was really creative. So I really wanted to help people with graphics and things like that. At that time, I was coming across a lot of people who had small businesses that were just like drowning in tasks and marketing tasks. Yeah. People don't realize there's so much admin that goes with marketing tasks, even with just me. And so they were drowning in admin tasks. Yeah. And so I did some graphic design work for a client. They really liked it. So I started doing freelance graphics, designing logos, social media graphics. And then I moved up to doing press kits and all kind of stuff. So I was doing that for a while. And then one of my clients' marketing teams was failing her really badly. And so she was like, well, you're doing most of the work anyway, you know, because they weren't doing stuff on time. So I just started doing it. And shout out to Tracy, because she like legit believed in me and believed, okay, you can do anything. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So that happened almost 7 years ago. And after she gave me that opportunity, I started offering marketing services. And then I started getting more people that needed help. And so then I started hiring my team.
I love it. I love your journey. I love the inspiration that your dad, rest in peace, had on you and what his life meant to you and what you saw in him living a life that he enjoyed. And you said, you know what? It's time that I begin to model that same legacy that he left behind. It's always all about legacy, right? You're always leaving a legacy, whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. But everything that you're surrounded by is really, truly part of the footprint you're leaving behind when you're here. So shout out and kudos to your dad for the legacy he left behind for you. Right. And I love that you said, I love that you said your coach will be upset with you. I'm going to say your coach won't be upset with you, because if your coach is appreciative of you just being real, authentic, and yourself in your journey, then what you said was fine. It's okay. You know, but it shows and it proves that every good entrepreneur needs to have a coach. So I love that. You know, here at Her Sweet Spot, we're all about providing training and coaching for women to, you know, not just access to funding. It's coaching, community, and the capital. Mm-hmm. But congratulations again on winning the grant. And I'm excited for this series that I'm doing, this new season of the podcast, where I'm inviting grant winners in. We want to talk about your business. We want to highlight you some more. And also just really talk about your funding journey and mm-hmm. how you use the grant, and really what has been your biggest wins and or challenges when it comes to grant funding and how it impacted your business.
Yeah, for sure. So as far as the grant I received from you guys, one, it really motivated me to, I think people don't understand, like, whether it's a big grant or a small grant, they can really motivate you to continue the process, because quite honestly, you know, the grant process is not for the weak, you know, and it
yes, I know that to be true.
and it's very overwhelming. And so one of the reasons I apply for grants, not that I don't need or want, you know, grant funding, I definitely do, but I do it because I like to practice what I preach, and I tell my clients to do it. So I want to make sure that I'm doing it as well. So that's really why I apply, because I won't lie to you, it's so time consuming. So, you know, so yeah, so the way I ended up using the grant is I have, throughout the year, I have apprentices that come and work with me. And so I was just able to spoil them, get them some lunch. I was able to have one person come in for a few extra hours, and then I got paid for lunch and things like that. So they were very, you know, happy to get food. Young people like food, okay? So that's what I did. I think, like I said, I really think the process of applying for grants is just, it can be overwhelming. So I was happy to be able to say, okay, I did what I said I was going to do. I apply, you know, I would tell anybody just try to apply to one a month if you can. Yeah. And save your responses somewhere so that you can easily access them. Sometimes they ask way different questions, but sometimes they ask very similar questions, and you can like use that information. Record you a few videos, a few video introductions.
I do request videos. I used to request videos. And when we do our pitch, when we open up our pitch competitions, we do request videos. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a lot of times people don't know that. And when they get ready to start applying, it overwhelms them to have to like record a video. But I have recorded videos on the spot. Listen, they're not going to show the world the video a lot of the times. Now, some organizations do tell you that they will share your video, and then, you know, you have time though to fill those out. But for the most part, they don't care how you look. They just want to, they want a fast way to know your story. And yeah,
it's what that pitch, that 30 second pitch, what you have to say, how well you know your business, how confident you are about your business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, beyond the video, that also shows in your application. And I say to people all the time, we're reading every single application. We're reading, you know, I add in my application, what is your testimony, as if you won the grant. Mm-hmm. And I look, and we use that on purpose more than probably any other field, so that we can see your long-term strategy, your long-term vision for your business. How do you feel, you know, as if this were the future, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's important that you really do. We try to give these grants to businesses one, as a foundation to plant that seed, like you said, we want people to feel like, oh my God, someone saw me, I am seen, and this should push me to go for the next grant. We have so many testimonies of women who have gone on to win thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars in grants, and will always come back and say, but Marsha, you were my first. And so, you know, it's a pleasure to be able to do that and plant those seeds of hope. And that's what we do with our grant.
For sure.
Right. So, you know, inside Her Sweet Spot, we love and everything I do is surrounded and encompasses the four pillars of success framework. And so we're going to run down the line of where you are in your four pillar framework, mm-hmm. right? Process. Mm-hmm. And so with mindset, could you share if you had any pivotal moments throughout your journey where your mindset needed to be shifted, or how your mind helped you find your sweet spot and maybe even help you get to the road to your first 100K? Did you reach your first 100K? How does your mindset support you in that?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I've had a lot of pivotal mindset moments. I think, you know, being a woman in entrepreneurship is very difficult. Mm-hmm. And especially being an African-American woman in entrepreneurship is very difficult, and especially when it comes to funding. So when I first started my business, thank God, you know, with a marketing company, because I don't sell very many physical products, I don't really have to worry about as much money when it comes to like the actual base of it. You know, it's, I pay for my website and things like that. But when I started having to hire people, it was devastating to come across, you know, so many issues. And a lot of the issues weren't what people would think. Like, a lot of people are so worried about somebody stealing their brand and things like that. I'm like, if y'all, I have, my clients are very loyal to me. And, but if for some reason they were not, it is not that the end of the world. So that's not the fear. But finding somebody,
and what for you is for you. If you're a believer, you can't stay stuck in that type of fear.
Yeah.
Would Nike have done that if they remember Converse? If they thought about the first sneaker that came out, like, we can't think like that. Yeah.
For sure. But it is definitely a process, and it can be money draining. You know, you have to train people properly. You have to be open to criticism of your process, you know, and so that is, you know, it's not only mentally draining, it's definitely, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm able to do this, you know, because I know I want it to scale. And you can't do that by yourself. It's just not possible. And so I was just like, I really want to scale. And I think I told my coach, I'm like, you know, I don't think I could do this. Cause like, I love people and I want to, you know, help them and I want to work with them. You know, people would not be where they're supposed to be. But then I would get some people that were amazing, and then they would, you know, transition out. So training people is very expensive. Like, I had a virtual assistant who was, I mean, I have multiple now that are amazing, but you know, they're not locked in with me. They're all contractors, and they do get, you know, 30 to 40 hours a month, but sometimes more depending on who they are. But if they get a client that, you know, needs them full time, they can't stay with me. And then I have to train somebody else, you know, which is fine. It's not an issue, but it is costly.
You know? It's the cost of doing business. I mean, that's the one thing that I try to help people with their mindset in regards to the women that are working full time and have a feeling with corporate America. Yeah, we should be jaded and we should have some reservations about the corporate structure, but isn't that what we're trying to become, right? And so we have to understand, yes, we have bad bosses, and you can't blame the whole workforce for that, because you're ultimately trying to join that so that you can employ. And, you know, being at will, it's going to, you're going to have some strains. It's creating a culture and an environment where people may not want to leave. But Trish, with that, cash is king, being able to have all of these employees, being able to, you know, have cash flow so that, you know, you're good and you can assure your employees for the next so-and-so amount of months, we know we're good because we have the proper amount of cash flow. Managing finances is top of the line for having the proper cash flow. Can you tell us about your financial strategies to or decisions that you had to make in order to help you with such a big team that you have in order to help you be sustainable?
Yeah, so I realized really early on that when I first was starting to hire that I couldn't afford to worry about the money as much. And I know that that might sound weird to people, but I really wanted to work with people who were excited about working with me and excited about helping my clients. And so, you know, I hire subcontractors, and what they do is they bill me hourly, just like I bill my clients, or either at a flat rate, depending on what they do. And I do the same thing. And so that was more, and that was also easier for me than having somebody come on full time, just so, because I needed more than one person. And so I also quickly realized, you know, everybody, I have some people on my team that can do everything. Like I do graphics, I do admin, I do all the things. And then I have some people that really focus on one thing. And I used to try to make everybody focus on multiple things. And it's just not possible for everybody. And so that cost me some money, you know, and they thought that they can do it. I thought that they can do it. And then I really had to let people operate in their lane of genius, which started to save me a lot of money because they were doing what they loved and what they were good at. And I was doing the same. And so right now I just slowly implement new things. So I think sometimes when we have the extra cash flow, you know, when I first made my first 1K, it definitely, I'm gonna be honest, it did not look like that on paper, you know, like on paper it looked like that, but not in real life, because I'm paying other people.
Right.
So you know, it's a lot of things that come along with that. I'm, you know, marketing, that's not free. So it was a very scary process. It's like the more money you make, the more that does go out, but then it will start to balance out, and it will start to provide you a lot more freedom. You know, when I first started my business, I literally worked 7 days a week. And, you know, there's a lot of culture that's like, oh, that's not good. And it's not. At the same time, sometimes it is necessary. You have seasons where you have to work, you know.
And it doesn't feel like work because it's yours, right?
And I loved it. I won't lie to you. Like my family knows, like family and friends know I loved it, you know, because it was, to me, it was worth it. You know, way more than working at a corporate job. I liked my corporate job, I won't lie, but it definitely, I wasn't having fun. I wasn't like in love, you know. Right. So,
yeah. It's such a difference when it is yours versus, you know, the levels of nonsense you do have to go through and you're working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Now, as the marketing and digital marketing expert, you know, marketing is the third pillar inside of our framework. What, how do you navigate? I have a couple of questions. How do you navigate building your own business's brand and marketing while you're doing it for everybody else? I don't know if you know, but like, there are a couple of industries where the operators within that industry probably look like or have the worst, and they like as if they're not experts. You ever see a hairdresser whose hair is not done? I see a lot of them, right? You ever see a contractor whose house is still broken because they're busy doing for everyone else and they're not doing for themselves? How did you manage that? And what is your own marketing strategy for the success of your business?
Yeah. So at first I didn't, right? Like, well, I didn't know this, because like what happened was all of a sudden I just had so many clients that I was doing the same process I do for myself, you know, for them, but it just became less of a priority, especially when I was hiring and people was coming in and out. It was just like, okay, you know, my stuff can sit on the back burner and I can just, I just need to focus on their stuff. But one of the things I realized doing that is if somebody leaves, then now I don't want to be scrambling. So what I did was I just had to, you know, bite the bullet and get somebody to help me. And that's like one of their main focuses, is to make sure they get that information from me of what needs to happen and then help me execute that. So that I can, because I really like to be very hands-on with my clients. So it is, like I said, it is very tough, but one of the things I do want to do is always practice what I preach, right? So if I'm telling you, you should be investing in doing this, I'm going to invest in doing it too. Right. So I think that's what's helped me, is knowing that I need help. Like, I don't want to be that person that's like, no, I want to try to do everything myself. It's just
right.
Not.
Right. And even, you know, I've interviewed a lot of marketing agencies, and I've worked with a lot of social media managers and all different types of service providers. And people think that you go to their social pages and you look to that as the marker, and that's not it. You want them to give you the clients. Give me the clients you work on. Tell me some of the things that you're doing for them, because half the time we are neglecting our own brands because we're working our business and we're not, you know, often doing that. But it is important that you were, and it's great that you were able to have someone dedicated to building your brand, which looks fantastic online.
Thank you.
So it matches what I would think you should have. I want to talk about media, and we talk about this all the time, and the presence of media, not just social media. Social media is really not the end all and all aspect of media, but the true media exposure, whether it's podcasts, whether it's local television. You're in Dallas, Texas,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So how are you using your local presence to get exposure for the business?
So, I mean, and, you know, quite honestly, I believe in that more than I believe in social media or any of the other medias.
Absolutely.
So I tell my, you know, clients all the time, I really believe in, you know, connecting and communicating with people directly as much as possible. Even in my business now, I still take phone calls. People call me, you know, I'm really old school when it comes to that. So, and I do it on, I like to talk more about the smaller scale in which I do it than the larger scale, because I think a lot of people really forget about just, like I said, just making sure you're in community with people. One thing is, I'm at home now, but I do have an office out of a co-working space in Dallas. And so one of the things that I like about that is you meet all types of people. And so I've met people through there, and they've become clients. I've even gotten people through there who never, ever, you know, worked directly with me, because they know me and they know, they talk to me, they know I know, you know, what I'm doing. They refer people to me all the time. So
right.
Those things really are, to me, way more, you know, if a friend tells you that a restaurant is good, you're gonna probably try that restaurant out
versus
it on Facebook. So I think that could take you really far. And then also being open to networking, being open to actually calling people. I think, you know, we're in this, you know, it's a lot of people that just really want to be able to text or email. And so, you know, I don't have a problem with calling a media company and saying, hey, you know, how do I get to be a part of your publication, or how can I be featured? Like, I don't have a problem with hearing no, you know, like,
you got to be comfortable with it.
Yeah, we cannot be afraid to hear no, because no to me is just like, really not right now, you know, and a lot of people say that it really is not right now. And it might not be on that platform. I've had clients, people who I've met that, you know, said they wanted to work with me. Following up is important too. They said they wanted to work with me, and then, you know, they fell off the radar, and it wasn't nothing personal to me. And then they might come back. I might follow up with them, and they may come back literally a year later and, you know, say, hey, I want to work with you now. I'm ready. You know,
right.
So when you network with people, I always say have a system. So whenever I go to a networking event, I get business cards. If they give me a physical one, I scan them. My assistant puts them in, and we email them and we reach out to them.
Right.
So, and then we
also relationships. Building relationships is one of the most pivotal parts of entrepreneurship and life in general. Right. We know that the kids that leave Harvard, they become multimillionaires overnight only because of the network that they have, not because they're good at anything half the time, right? It's not about that. It's generally about the network that you keep and the relationships that you're building. And so to that, I know earlier we spoke about your dad, who was a big inspiration to you, but what mentors or sponsors played a role and can you share kind of a story about when a mentor or a sponsor really helped you in your business or in your journey? And what was that like?
Yeah, so when I first started, there's been lots of things that have happened. But when I first started, like I said, I was doing like concierge work, virtual assistant work. I was just doing anything to figure out what I wanted to do. And I was in a Facebook group. So Facebook groups can be very powerful too, if you do it correctly. And so I was in a Facebook group. That's a very popular Facebook group for virtual assistants. And I was talking to another lady who I figured out later owned a virtual assistant company. I mean, and this lady, her name is CJ. She's amazing. Shout out to her. She mentored me for free for a long period of time. I want to say for at least 6 months. It might have been longer than that, 6 to 8 months. At that time, I was working so much, everything felt like a long time. So I'm trying to downplay a little bit. But she she makes seven figures, and she literally took me under her wing and really kind of told me things that people were not, willing to share with you just for free. You know what I mean? Like, for anybody who has had a coach, they know that having a coach it can be very expensive, especially if you do like a 6 month kind of package. Something like that. So it was between 6 to 8 months. And, she really also made me feel like I can do anything. And I think just having the confidence can really take you far. Like, I know people hear it, it sounds cliche, but confidence can really take you far. And so her making me feel more confident, always telling me, that was somebody who also did tell me, like, make sure you're doing the things that you're supposed to do in your business. It is hard. It really is. But if you do that and you always are putting your best foot forward, that will also take you very far. I've had people just say, okay, because you sent me this and it was so cohesive and easy to understand, I want to work with you. I have my pricing on my website. I'm just very upfront because I just want people to know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
Especially when you're already so busy. And so her instilling that confidence in me helped me. And then quite honestly, I watch a lot of people online, like, make sure you're listening to podcasts with about entrepreneurship. There's a really famous guy, and now of course I'm going blank, I can't remember his name, but I think his name is V, or it begins with V. People will know him. So he's very crisp. Like, he's really crazy.
You're not talking about Gary V, are you?
Yes. So watching people like him you don't have to, if you don't have the,
he'll tell you your mother ruined you.
he's a little cuckoo, but he really knows his stuff. And so I think sometimes, it's just like, you have to be able to separate the BS, and you have to also be able to, if you can't afford to get a coach, okay, what are you going to do now if you know you need the help? So watching people like that in the beginning really helped me to understand like how the industry worked. And so I think that was helpful. Yeah. Like, I had some people in person, and then also family. People say their friends and their family ghost them, but there is at least one person in your circle that will support you. And so having the support of my sister was really helpful. Like, it doesn't always have to go.
Even if it's just a mental support.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Like, it doesn't have to be all the things you see on TV, social media. Whatever can keep you going, because consistency is what's going to take you far. So whatever can keep you going, keep you learning, you growing, that's what needs to be happening. So I think just having a combination, I have a mentor, I have family that, support me, and researching, like looking up different podcasts, looking up different people that are actually doing the work and figuring out how they did it. They'll give you free information because they are trying to also build community. So, and using Facebook groups and things like that, just being in community is very powerful.
Yes. I mean, that's why I started Her Sweet Spot. That's why we built this community outside of Facebook and really just to, as a, three pillar prong with community, the coaching and the access to capital, teaching people about the different ways to get capital, providing resources. I feel like what we provide, definitely, because coaching is a very expensive investment, and we try to do it where it's affordable for the folks that are at the start level and really just trying to grow and decide whether it is. I love what you said early about, you just were kind of almost doing anything just to figure out what it is you wanted to do, and the marketing just kind of landed on you from the activities and the things that you were doing, which is great advice for people. Just get started at something, right?
Make you a plan and work that plan. Take it in small pieces. You know, if you could find one person that can give you some insight, do that. Then, you know, find one person that's going to support you and get outside your house. If you can't work from home, I know everybody wants to work from home. You don't have to not do it. You know, you don't have to do it every day, but getting outside, you can meet people and talk to people and network. So, yeah.
So Trish, oh, it's been great talking to you. Looking towards the future, what is your vision for your business and your personal role as an entrepreneur? How do you see your journey evolving?
So right now I'm in the process of, so I have a full virtual team, and then I have people that come in and out for apprenticeships and internships and things like that. So now I'm wanting to grow and hire someone full time in person, like, and have build a team in person as well. And like I said, this is a helpful thing. If somebody is looking for in-person work and they want to do like an internship, you know, a paid internship, they can use Handshake, which is what I use to hire like college students and things like that. I'm obsessed with it. It's
great tool. It's a job board for college students.
Yes. And it is, it's phenomenal. I also have a school that I partner with here in Texas, there in Irving, and they have kind of like a Montessori style learning. So they send people to help me as well. So my goal is to be able to hire a person that can help me manage the in-person team once I start developing that a little bit more. And then I'll be able to open up different locations. So technically I can work globally, right? Because most of the things I do are online. But I do have times where I go to clients' houses. I went to a client's house yesterday for filming things for social media and things like that. So I want to be able to do that in other cities. I'm originally from New Orleans, so my plan is to be able to set up a little base there and kind of just be able to move around.
Excellent. So Trish, we are planning a Her Sweet Spot Road to 100K live tour, and Dallas is on the list for us to be visiting. And so we're scouting locations now. If you have any, send me a note. Let me know if you know of any places that I should be looking at to host a live event. And when I show up, you better be there.
I will. Let me just put down the venues things. I have a few venues I can send you. I'll definitely.
Yeah, excellent. 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 And so with that, I wanted to also put in your spirit, I don't know if you've already thought about it, but before we wrap up, are you MWBE certified? And are you, with your apprenticeship aspect of your business, if you're certified, you become SBA and government certified, you can get money for your apprentice program.
Yeah, so I had, I'm supposed to be in the process. It's on my goals list. Okay.
Well, but now is the time. I've confirmed it for you.
Yeah, so because I was trying to do that because I know that, like, it's definitely helpful for apprentice and internships and fellowships and all of those. All the ships. So it's on my list? Question mark. I'll say that.
You can really, really find grants out there for this job development program that you are already doing. And if you can get the funding for it through government programming and workforce development funding, there are millions you're leaving on the table.
Yeah. So, I actually just told one of my clients who's a trichologist about her doing, she's working on doing this now. So get my little life, you know, get my little life together. But I'm working on it. I don't want a lot to you. But you know, this, I feel like this is the, every year is the year to get closer and closer. You know, I never want, like I said, I don't make resolutions per se, but goals. So every year is to get closer and closer. And once things slow down, it is on my list to do. I'm actually going to have somebody help me set it up, but in person. But yes, that is on my list.
Excellent. Well, Trish, how can we and others connect with you online, if they wanted to learn about your digital marketing services and the work that you're doing, please share your deets. We'll also put it in the chats as well, but please share how they could find you.
Cool, cool, cool. So literally it's very easy to just look up my business name, but I, of course, my website also matches that. So it's Farrell's Daughter, FARRELLS.com. And the link to book a call with me is there. You can also just search Trish Bernard on Google. I'll come up. and then I would love for people to follow me on Instagram. I do actually check my DMs. So that's at Farrell's Daughter as well. And, you know, shoot me an email if you have questions. I'm open to all of that, all the things.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you so much again, Trish. You guys know how I like to end each broadcast. When we empower each other, we all rise. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Her Sweet Spot Experience. Make sure to visit our website, www.hersweetspot.com. That's her, S-U-I-T.